How the devil are we all? Yes, we're back. We're back like a bad dream. It's terrible, isn't it? Oh, look at you all in the chat box there. Oh, who was first in? It's a bag of dicks. Is that Mike or is that Andy? I'm never sure which one's which. Oscar Arias is there. M'Shefik1 is there. Ron Rees there. Jay Robb's there. Oscar Arias. Daniel Croning. Pat Brady. And 235100. Ron Ree. Pablo Amar. My 25. Oh, Drunk Cat Phil. Drunk Cat Phil's there. Daryl Kane. Dusan D. Pablo Amar. Hello, Marcus Hodges. Hello, one and all. How you doing? That was a bit painful, wasn't it? Ooh, tell you what, not one to get the juices flowing, but gritty. So let's get to it. Today, I'm joined. I've used this line before, but I'm going to use it again because I like it. It's the boy wonder from Down Under. It's Dom. Say hello, Dom.
Hello, Dom.
Nice. Well done. Are you doing better?
Every time.
You're reliable. Reliable. I tell you, reliable. I like that about you. Tash Nunes is in the box. Hey, Tash, how you doing? It's been a while. Hope you're doing well. Boom, boom, boom. Guess who else is with me? You're going to be shocked about this. You're going to be really, really shocked to see who else is on today. It's John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hello, John. You all right?
It's a brace. We won. How you doing, pal? You okay?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. I like to see you rocking the shirt today. Bit of branding. It's nice.
I would be, but someone hasn't sent me one yet.
Excuse me, boys. Currently, we have shirts on the way to London. Norwich. Poland, the USA, and Canada. They're all in midair, okay? And we're going to give another one away today. When I had to send the ones to Canada, they asked me for a value on them, okay?
Oh, you can't do that. I'm going to pay tax on that.
I just put down priceless. You've been waiting for them for so long. It's just, you know, they're priceless. Richard Garrett, there are shirts on the way, mate. There are shirts on the way. Not these ones. These ones are pure giveaways, okay? So they're going to go up. We're giving one away today after the game. Right? So be on it. It's the usual format. I'll ask a question. And first to put the right answer in the box wins it. Now, I haven't thought of the question yet. And you two monkeys are going to have to remind me because you know I'm going to forget. Right, let's get on with this, straight into the game. It's Arsenal Huddersfield, the Chapman Derby. John, lineups. Still no Ozil. The bad back explanation, I think that's the best way to call it, is still in play. Three in the middle and Koz back on the bench.
Sort of mixed reaction to the lineup. The Koz being back on the bench, I thought was good. Him and Nacho as well, to be honest. I mean, Koz just being back was nice. I didn't expect him to come on, although it did look like for a minute he might do. Obviously, it's going to be a long-term thing getting him back up to speed. Nacho being back, I think, is really important. We saw that today. The only thing that I thought was a little bit, it seemed a bit negative, from Emery was the fact that we basically started with three essentially DMs. I know they're not out and out DMs and they're not, you know, Xhaka isn't really a DM, but the way we play anyway with those kind of guys in this system, I was a little bit worried about our creativity. So a lot was going to be relied upon Kolasinac and Hector Bellerin today in terms of providing the sort of support for Lacazette and Aubameyang up front. But other than that, I thought it was okay. There was maybe an argument for, is it time to maybe switch to the back four again just because we are so short in defence and do you need to keep someone available in backup just in case, like, you know, because you're already playing one guy at a position in Lichtsteiner. But yeah, that was the only thing. I would have maybe liked to see Mkhitaryan or Iwobi or someone else just start in midfield just to give us something a little bit different. You know, all the guys, Xhaka, Guendouzi, Torreira, they've all been great this season, but they're not the most creative. You know, they're not always going to open up a team.
Well, you know, to be fair, did he have much option? You know, I mean, I think he wants to stick with the two up front. Okay. Iwobi and Mkhitaryan haven't been in sparkling form the last couple of games. And Ramsey's out. So, you know, Ramsey and Ozil are both out. But, hey, well, we'll come to it all a bit later, won't we? Funny enough, I had a stat before the game. We are 3 points better off than we were at this point last season.
We think last season we didn't start terribly, did we?
No, we didn't.
We started pretty well last season.
Yeah, it was around this time when, was it sort of this time last year when Alexis, was it last season Alexis went? I can't remember now.
He went in January.
Yeah, he went in January. Like, it was around this period he went, he sort of started to go off the boil a little bit, didn't he?
And then the away game form started to creep in.
That was when it really happened. So
No. He was awful all season up to Christmas. And that Palace game, he came back with.
Oh, he did the Palace game, didn't he? Yeah.
It was at this point last season, I saw lots of tweets for retweets sort of thing. A fit so-and-so is really important to this club and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it kind of drove me off Twitter.
I think the difference between it's only 3 points, which isn't huge. Then I think the big difference is the fact that you look at some of the big games we've played and the performances we've put in. They've been markedly better, other than perhaps the derby, which is just one of those games we always get up for anyway. Like the Liverpool performance was really good. I think the Chelsea game is a game we could have won that maybe last season we didn't play so well in, that kind of thing. I think that's
true with them away last season. We should have won it last season as well. Never mind. Look, we'll find at the end of the season where we are. Yeah. You know, it's exciting times nonetheless. You know,
is that 21 unbeaten now?
21 unbeaten. Yeah. It's a fantastic run, to be fair. It just kind of puts things into perspective. Do you know what I mean? I think we're doing really, really well. I'd like to see performances improve, but it's just a little bit of perspective where, you know, things are made out that there's been a sea change at the club and what have you. And I think there have been really important changes made. I think there have. But let's not all look back on, you know, what's gone before as horrendous, so to speak. Dom, game kicks off. Huddersfield start off like an absolute train in the press, don't they?
They did. Yeah, I think I just want to quickly get to that donation before I continue on, Jace.
Please do, and you have to read it out properly.
You have to read it out. I can't see it anymore. It's gone off mine.
Ariane Hadari comes in with another Canuck dollar donation, and he says, "El Senior Welsh is magic. He wears a magic hat, and where he saw another John Welsh masterclass, he said he's having that." It doesn't exactly slip off the tongue, Ariane.
Thank you, Arian.
That's magic. Do you realise Arian in Welsh is money?
Is that's it really?
Yeah. So, and he always comes in a donation. Thank you very much, Arian. Much appreciated, pal. Funny enough, your shirt is currently over the Atlantic, so you should be getting it soon. They're all going to OG, and he is posting them out in Canada. It saves us about 20 quid, it does. To, you know, let's go from there. Dom, back to you. Yeah, I just going to start like a train on the press.
They did. I'm not sure if that was, you know, well, obviously from them, on their perspective, it was obviously a plan to come out and try and put us under a little bit of pressure early, because every team's been doing that so far. And there's only been a small handful of games that we've been on the front foot early. I'm not sure if actually, well, I think it's safe to say that the two games we've played in the last couple of days, being Tottenham and United, being very physical, very demanding games, probably have taken a little bit out of the gas tank for us. But yeah, it is still a little bit concerning seeing us start game so slowly. But you know, they did. The first half to me in general was just a bunch of yellow cards. I don't actually remember a whole lot other than Lacazette and Aubameyang missing a couple of chances, and then just a bunch of yellow cards being dished out to everybody.
I've got to be honest, in my notes, that's 45 minutes of my life I'm not getting back.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't great, was it?
It was awful. But John, One of the bright sparks in that first sort of about 15 minutes, there was some good defending from Zonka, whatever his name was. He denied Hector a cross in the box, where Hector probably should have shot. Really good piece of defending from him. It kind of showed Huddersfield's tenacity, didn't it?
Yeah, for as much as they committed, you know, they did commit a lot of fouls. I did think they pressed really well, and they pressed at the right times, and they weren't just wasting energy. And they clearly come set up with the intention of playing against us and knowing that we'd be playing the back three. I think you saw that shift in the second half. They struggled a little bit more and obviously not having the energy to press as much. But Hector in particular, I thought him and Kolasinac, as I said, in the, you know, from the formation we played, they were really good. They were our outlet. And I thought Hector was very good today. Put in some really nice balls. I think that one, yeah, you're probably right. He would have been better off maybe taking the shot on.
Yeah.
But we didn't really create a ton, and it was only coming down through the wing backs that we were realistically going to get a chance. But I thought Huddersfield did okay, like defensively. They were very scrappy and they were bitty. And then there was that period of, I don't know, like 5-10 minutes when both teams sort of lost their head and were just flying in for tackles and taking advantage of a referee, I think,
we're gonna come,
lost control.
We're going to come to that in a second. I want to talk about the positive things first, because we spoke about that in our group, and you know, it's one of those things where we'll address it, okay? Dom, the Aubameyang miss. There was a brilliant counter attack from us. To be fair, we'd been under pressure, and it's a fabulous counter attack. And Xhaka takes the shot. Let's make no bones about it. He's taking a shot there, but you still expect Aubameyang to put that away, don't you?
Yeah, someone of his talent and his quality, especially his finishing in and around those areas, he's been pretty deadly. Before this game? De Gea made a save against him, but there was some crazy stat that he'd scored with 10 of his last 10 shots on goal. So he's usually pretty ruthless in front of goal, especially in those little pockets in and around that area. But I love Aubameyang, don't get me wrong, but there's just been a couple of big moments this season where he has missed a couple of big chances. There was one against United late on that he missed as well. That was the De Gea save, that one. Yeah. And then the Chelsea game, him and Mkhitaryan both missed big chances in that one as well. And look, you know, you're not telling him anything he doesn't know, though, are you?
It's not news to
him that he should have scored that. He knows.
And to be fair, you know, all strikers miss chances, don't they?
You know, 100%.
John, if it was followed up, you know, it wasn't even 2 minutes later, Lacazette, great pass from Guendouzi, but he skies it. Was that down to his first touch? Did the ball spin? What did you think?
I didn't think his first touch was that bad, because I think the way he went to control it was to, you know, the ball's coming into him, the defender's coming on, and he's tried to touch it back in the other direction past the defender to then maybe like get it on the half volley. But as he's connected with it, I think he kicks it off his right foot onto his left and it sends it up over the bar. That little period of play, he, Aubameyang first and then that, so unlike both of them, particularly Lacazette, I think, as well, because he generally is very, very sharp. Aubameyang will miss a few, but because he gets so many in the game, he'll normally score you once. You don't really concentrate on it. But Lacazette is normally so touch, so especially with his first his control and his tightness in the box, can normally turn a defender quite well. So I was really disappointed with that. And when those two chances went, I just thought, oh, it's going to be one of those games where we get, you know, those typical sort of games where we'll maybe get one more chance. And if we don't put that one away, that's going to be it. And it's just going to be that scrappy thing. And you end up with a 0-0 and just think, oh, that was, you know, really miserable to watch. But I mean, to be fair to Huddersfield, they limited us to probably those two chances for about 60 odd minutes or something like that. We didn't really have another good one for a long time.
Lacazette goal that was unfairly ruled off.
There was also the Torreira shot where Lossell made worldy save in the first half. We'll come to those in a second. We're going to get straight onto it, onto the big issue from the first half, okay? Now, people talk about the referee, and I get it, okay? The first yellow card was Moy, and that was simply, and he explained it to Moy, it was down to rotation fouling. He'd had a gutsful of it. He tried to stamp it out early. Then you had a Xhaka yellow for simulation. all of a sudden then Pritchard gets a yellow. Now, bearing in mind, the fouls are coming thick and fast, okay? Danny Williams then goes through, who did he go through? Was it
Torreira,
from behind. No intention of winning the ball. That could be a red card. He's off his feet. There's no studs up, to be fair. Then Lichtsteiner goes in for him, pushes him in the chest. Okay. It just got out of control very, very quickly. Now, I know a lot of people are having a pop at the referee here. And trust me, I think he was awful. I think the whole team were awful. Okay. The whole officiating team were awful. And I get that Huddersfield, you know, they're coming here to win a point, to be fair to them, okay? And they've got to play to their strengths. But it was, Dom, it was taking the piss at this point, wasn't it? It was an absolute joke of a game.
There were 12 fouls from Huddersfield before halftime. I don't think that, like, you see some games where there's not even 12 fouls for the whole game.
Yeah.
Let alone from one team before the half. And I guess this goes back a long ways with Arsenal fans, doesn't it? Where you see, we've seen it happen so many times, and the frustration is the Williams challenge that you're talking about could have easily been a leg breaker.
Yeah.
It might sound like I'm being, you know, a little bit over the top or dramatic, but we've seen it happen. We've seen it happen where players kind of sort of test the waters a little bit and see what they can get away with during a game against us. And you're right, Huddersfield were there to kick us. They were there to stop and break up play, and they did it well in terms of getting away with it. I don't normally like pointing at the referees and using them as an excuse for a result, but I will point at this referee and say that he wasn't protecting the players at all. And that's the big worry. That's the big worry.
Yeah. Would a red card on Williams, would you think that would have stamped it all out?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. That's the big thing, isn't it? Is it's like, Yvonne's given us £2, Jace.
Yeah, Yvonne Okoffor. No one could stop 21 unbeaten. Thanks for the shirt. It's our pleasure. There should be another one on its way to you. You should have had two, Yvonne. You get two because of all the things you've done for us. So thank you very much, Yvonne. You're an absolute star. Yeah, I just thought, look, you know, we it's come out recently in the press about Pulis and his attitude towards us, of kicking us off the pitch. And when all the press were calling us soft, etc., when you see the players come out in the press and actually say this, okay, at that point, you can see what Huddersfield are doing. Now, later on in the game, you saw two Huddersfield players going off injured and they looked like bad injuries. At that point, I fucking laughed at them. I laughed at them and I thought, I hope you're out for a season.
I was, I had no feelings towards Huddersfield as a team. And now I do. I understand time-wasting tactics and trying to play for a point, et cetera, but there's a difference between doing that and going out there and looking like you're trying to injure players. That's a big difference. And that's what Stoke do. That's what Stoke did. And I didn't see much difference in that Huddersfield team today, that they had no interest in actually trying to play football.
Right. John Welsh.
You want me to talk about the Williams challenge, don't you, and say that I only thought it was a yellow card?
Go on. The chat box needs someone to get angry at. Go on.
I mean, they expect it from me. It's kind of, look, I thought it was a yellow. I did. I thought it was a yellow. I get your reasoning for why you could give a red. I'm not saying you can't give a red for that. I think that's fair.
If he Bruce Lee kicked him in the face, you'd be like, oh, no, there's nothing in it. Let's just
No. Come on, don't be silly. I'm not that stupid. I think the thing is, I understand why you think maybe giving the red card there might have calmed things down. I actually don't think it does. I think if you send him off there, the Huddersfield players get more irate and they start flying in on more challenges.
The
Arsenal player that goes in and the ref doesn't red card him, the way the Arsenal players are reacting as well is then just going to make it worse.
John, this is the thing, okay? If you're on the pitch, okay, and somebody's constantly kicking you, okay, and they're doing it for a reason, they're doing this tactically now, they've gone out to do it, okay? If you're doing that, you're not playing the fucking game, you should be off the pitch.
I don't think Huddersfield went out to kick Arsenal today. I just think we're a better team and the ref was poor. And I just think we've so many times we turned players and stuff. If you watch before that, the amount of times Torreira receives the ball and turns and spins Williams, he's done him like three or four times. And it's not like, don't get me wrong, it's a bad challenge, but he could have come in and done a lot more damage to him if he wanted to. If he really wanted to hurt him, he could have gone in a lot harder than that. And you know that, Jay. So I don't think there's any intent there that he's gone in to injure him. I think he genuinely thinks he's going to spin me here. I'm going to cash him out this time.
And oh, he's off the floor. So he's showing no... he's gone off the floor. I don't think he's gone studs up. Okay, I'll be honest.
I've never seen refereeing like that in a first half of a game from us for a long time.
That referee is fairly new. I think that's the first time he's refereed at the Emirates as well. He seemed a little bit overwhelmed by it all. It's that particular period. I actually think as the game went on, he got a bit more control and started to sort of stamp out some of the nonsense. But I don't think they went there like Stoke did to go and just kick us off the park. They're not that sort of team. And Wagner, for me, isn't that kind of manager. And look, it's all opinions. I just think we are a better team and they know that. So they know they're going to be more physical when they're pressing game and stuff, frustrated us. And also, because we didn't play particularly well, you as a player and the crowd, you could hear the crowd getting really frustrated because we weren't creating a lot. And that's the first time this season the crowd are sort of, not turning, but like you could hear them getting a bit annoyed.
Oh, and they're booing roundly one day.
Yeah. I mean, it gets all a bit pantomime and then you start getting on the referees back and then you get on every Huddersfield players back. You know, they were getting on the Huddersfield, the two guys who went down injured and stuff for a long time, like Hogg, who got it looked like he might have sprained his wrist or something and had the strap up and everything. And another guy who got stretched off. I'm no huge fan of players from another team, but you get caught up in it when you're in the stadium, don't you? And the atmosphere and everything. Whereas if you're watching from home, you go, oh, actually, that bloke's probably got a genuine injury that could be quite bad. Otherwise, he wouldn't be going off on a stretcher. So
I got to be honest, too. When their players went off injured, I was laughing. Like I said, I was laughing because they deserved it. We've had another donation, and it's Aryan Hidari again. Do you think, in general, refs do that to cause controversy and to get their name out there? Dom, what do you think?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that referees really want to be in the media for negative reasons.
Except for Mike Dean.
He's probably the exception to the rule, to be honest. Yeah, if he was refereeing today, then that would probably be a big yes. But just in terms of the injury that you're talking about, I was frustrated because you see a guy that's hurt his wrist laying on the ground for well over 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you saw Mustafi do his hamstring and quickly just limp off. And then their player, I think it was it Smith or Hogg, one of the two? Hogg. Smith, maybe.
I think Hogg was the wrist, wasn't it? Yeah.
And then later in the game, the guy does a hamstring and has to get stretched off. It's like...
That's down to the referee, though. That's not the player. No, and I'm not being funny. If I'm a Huddersfield player, I'm staying on the ground and wasting as much time as I possibly can.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Use every advantage you can.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it was the wrong thing, but I'm saying that there's no way that a little bit of a sore wrist that you get strapped up on the pitch. It's like...
Oh, yeah.
The ref. I bet there would be another referee around the world that would say, get off and get that strapped.
Yeah.
Use your legs, get off and get it strapped so we can get on with the game. And he wouldn't have let them just sit there for 3 or 4 minutes, putting some sticky tape on the guy's wrist.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I enjoyed the... like
that part that I'm talking about in terms of controlling the game, I feel like a really experienced referee would be able to identify that, look, there's nothing wrong with your feet. I know what you're doing. Get off, get it strapped up and come back on. I want to continue this game.
I think the thing that frustrated me with all that, the sort of yellow cards back and forth is, I'm fine with us fighting back and having a kick back and everything. I think that's great. And it's something we've missed for a long time, but you're doing it in a controlled manner. Like the way Lichtsteiner reacts and the way he goes in, he could have got a red card.
Not because what he's done is wrong or
deserves a red card, but because the way he reacts.
If Williams gets a red card for a deserved red card, Lichtsteiner does not react that way. Okay, he does not. See, I'm sorry. Okay, I think, you know, the players are responsible for this. I think yes, the referee does carry some responsibility. No ifs or buts. Okay, but you know, he didn't go for his face. If that was me, I'd have broke his fucking nose. You know what I mean? You just go for him. After a challenge like that, because you see it all the time, you see people get hurt, okay?
And how many times have we been screaming out for players to defend our players?
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. Like I'm pleased that they defend it in the way they did it in the Spurs game as well, but sometimes you've got to be a bit smarter about the way you do it. And Lichtstein is an experienced pro who should know how to do it. You know, you can get up in someone's face, but you can do it without putting your hands. I know he didn't put his hands to his face when I watched it back. I thought he did. But he doesn't have to push him in the chest or anything else, because you've seen how the referee's already been in the game. He's a little bit all over the place. You're not really sure what he's going to do. You do something like that, he's the sort of referee who could all of a sudden go, oh, hang on a minute, he's gone, he's pushed him, he's punched him or whatever, I'm going to give you a red card.
John, I just think you've got an agenda against Lichtstein. It's as simple as then we see Socrates take a yellow, okay? A little bit silly, but it was one of those games by that point. But that means he's out to the next game. Well, when was Mustafi's yellow for diving? Is that first or second half?
I think second half.
I can't see my notes yet. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Right, Dom, then the Lacazette goal that was given offside. Oh, God. I mean, I think this, by this point, I was just screaming at the screen because I just thought it was an absolute piss take, especially bearing in mind the goals that we've conceded recently, which were definitely offside. And this one, it's a new phase of play. The Huddersfield player has played it back to the keeper. He's onside at that point. It's a bit of a joke, isn't it?
That was the big frustration for me in terms of the refereeing. Like I said, I don't like using the refereeing as an excuse in terms of results. But if that was a 0-0 game, that's very frustrating because I was thinking back and thinking, why did he raise his flag the way that he did? The only thing I can think of is that he initially saw Lacazette offside when the header came through from Aubameyang, and he was just, you know what I mean? Like he was almost preempting that he was going to have to raise his flag. As soon as Lacazette got near the ball, he was kind of, I don't know. But then all of a sudden, when he does get near the ball, the ref just quickly, you know, whips the flag up. And it's so clear to see that all it was a terrible back pass and really clever kind of, you know, preempting that particular back pass from Lacazette. Look, you're going to have to go to John, because the rules to me sometimes, they just do not make any sense. And John knows the rule book. But to me, I cannot understand why that was disallowed.
Right. So this is so confused. So I looked through the FA rules and I've got them up here. Everyone knows the offside rule. And like you're saying, Jason, I thought it's a new phase of play because the defender touches the ball, which is generally what would normally happen. So he's offside from the initial header from Aubameyang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't touch the ball, comes back onside. Then the defender plays it. Now, the only reason I can find within the rule, so I'm going to read it here. So you can be in an offside position if you've previously come back onside, as Lacazette did, if you are challenging the opponent for the ball, which perhaps the line I thought he was doing, because he's quite close. And at first I thought Lacazette had actually touched the ball until I saw the replay, and then I saw the defender touch it. So it's either that. You can be offside still if you're preventing an opponent from playing or being able to play the ball by clearly obstructing their line of vision. Or making an obvious action which clearly impacts on the ability of an opponent to play the ball. That is the only reasoning I can get for it.
So I don't think any of those things, actually, if you look back at it, I don't think you could actually point at any of those things. Could
yeah,
you?
I mean,
it was just a shit back pass.
I mean, he's close to the defender, but I can't remember him like grabbing the player or pulling on him, or anything like that. I think the lino's gone, he's offside from the header, the ball's come back, and then he's like he's the other side of the defender from the linesman, yeah. Isn't he? So unless he thinks Lacazette's touched the ball or is interfering with the defender as he's played it back, and that's why he's pulled it up for offside. Look, it's annoying. It's frustrating. Hopefully when VAR comes in, that sort of thing will be stamped out. And because every time a goal is scored, it will be reviewed. As long as they stick with the rules that they had at the World Cup and they've got in Italy and Germany and whatever. But it's one of those things, you know. There's two games now where we've had annoying decisions, because you have the Herrera one in United.
You had the first goal at Tottenham. He was offside from
But then you look at the flip side of it. We've got the ones where the hand was holding, sending offs, things like that. So it doesn't balance out like everyone says, you know. So it's, yeah, I I don't know. You can't do anything about it. It's so much easier for us to look at it and go, well, he's clearly not offside. You have to, it's very difficult to put yourself in the mindset of, I've got to judge this on this happening in real time at that one moment.
And that's why I'm thinking that he might have just preemptively raised the flag because of the initial offside.
Yeah, because it's so hard once you've already got in your head the thought that I know he's not offside.
That's right.
Even if you watch it back in real speed, you've already got that thought there. It's so hard.
That's all I can kind of rationalize is that he's already thinking he's offside, and that process of him being second phase of play, all that happening so quickly, I think he's just panicked and raised his flag for the initial offside. And wasn't able to think fast enough to watch it kind of go. But as a linesman, wouldn't you kind of let it go for a second and then be really sure before? I don't know. It was I guarantee if you could talk to the linesman right now, he'd probably be like, "Yeah, I made a mistake." And they do the thing that they make mistakes. But the problem I think is there were so many refereeing mistakes today.
This is not a place for us to be balanced. This is a place for us to hammer people we don't like. We don't like him.
Well, I'm expecting you two to hammer the referee in the lino. I'm supposed to be the balance, aren't I?
Actually, I'm coming to you now, okay? And as soon as I've said my piece here, you can understand why. Pritchard misses a very good opportunity in the box, all stemming from Xhaka giving the ball away in the box again to an opposition player.
Yeah.
We got off the one there, didn't we? And second part of the question, when's this imbecile going to learn?
I don't know. Genuinely don't know. He was not at his best today. That is for sure. To be fair, I don't think any of our midfielders were at their best today. They all looked a little bit, you know, their passing weren't great, but that moment was... I was so glad Pritchard didn't score that, because I know I would have got non-stop Chris abuse going, Xhaka's not good enough. I keep telling you, shouldn't be in the team. That was really stupid. I have no idea what he was doing. The problem is you watch that, but then you see the amazing ball he does, inch perfect for Kolasinac running down the line and stuff. And you think, oh, that's exactly what
he did make a lot of recoveries and interceptions and things today too.
But honestly, I thought our midfield was pretty poor all round today. Even Torreira, who I really, really like him, but he gave some balls away as well in some places.
Yeah, so did Guendouzi.
They weren't great. To be honest, I think the fact that they...
Was it too unbalanced? Was there too many people in the same positions wanting to take up the same spaces or not knowing... The only thing I can think of, Jace, in terms of the initial three-man midfield that we did to have two up front was so that... there was more cover for Kolasinac and Bellerin to be the width. Yeah, and then you have a bit more protection with three of them there. But I think the issue was that no one knew when to go forward or when to stay back or who was, you know what I mean? I just don't feel that the balance was there. And so they were taking up the same spaces a lot.
I think the problem we got is the style of players there. I know they're all different sort of styles of playing, but they all like the ball in front of them. They all like to come on, you know. They all like that pitch in front of them to spray it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Nobody makes the forward run. Nobody gets ahead of the ball. And we mentioned this midweek where, you know, you need people making intelligent runs. And to be fair to the three of them, they're not those players. They're just not. And it's very kind of difficult. This is the first time they've played in a three together, so you add that to it, you know, it is difficult for them. But
dare I say it, Jace, that is where an Aaron Ramsey is very, very good.
Let's not mention him. But it's just going to...
His ego's already taken him out.
Yeah, I know. People will kick off in the chat box, but you can see that that's the guy that will run into those lines and dribble with the ball and confuse defenders because you don't know if he's going to pass it or run with it. And he pops up in those little areas. But that's like you're saying, we didn't have a midfielder out there today that sort of has that kind of skill set. They, like you said, they're all kind of more head up, wanting to pass the ball forward type of players.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then he gets Rambo's out with a bruised ego. So what can you say? You know? It's just Dom, I'm going to stick with you. The Torreira shot. It was heading top bins. Oof. I mean, ooh la la, but the save from Lawson, wow, it was absolutely phenomenal.
I didn't realize how good a shot and save it was until the replay, to be honest, because it all happened so quickly. And you just saw him dive across and sort of palm it away. And you know how sometimes you'll see a keeper sort of dive and not really have to move and just makes it look really spectacular? So initially I thought maybe that's what happened, but then on the replay that was a heck of a save. What is it with the Emirates? I think they must have left some balloons lying around. The referee got hold of one before the game, obviously. And I think that goalkeeper must have got hold. Like, goalkeepers coming to the Emirates all channel their inner Manuel Neuer when they get there. I don't know what it is.
It's frustrating as hell, but you know, you stood there and you watch him turn it around the corner and you just think, that's brilliant.
Someone in the chat box said that the shot was a bit low. I don't think it was. I think that it was all, like, it could have maybe been a few inches higher and wider, but it was nearly as good as it could get. You know, it wasn't, if the keeper didn't save it, it would have basically gone in the postage stamp, wouldn't it?
To be fair, I thought the shot had enough pace in it. It was a thing of beauty from him. And then Lossell pulls that out. I mean, John, you know, you're not going to see a finer save than that this season, are you?
No, it was great. I think part of the reason why we get so frustrated with it, I do, you know, keepers do put in a good performance when they come and play against us. It's partly because generally we're the better team at home than most of the opposition, so we're going to get more shots off and see that kind of thing. But it's also because for quite a few years we put up with some bang average goalkeeping. And we're like, hang on a minute, why can't our keepers do that?
Yeah.
But it's one of those weird things, isn't it? Because there's some bad teams in the Premier League, but players individually, their quality, it's there, but it's the coaching and the systems they're played in and stuff that sort of exposes some of their weaknesses. So you get little individual moments like that and you go, oh, actually, there's a reason why he's in the Premier League. He's quite a good player, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do love that thing with Torreira, not just him, but Lacazette, Aubameyang, Xhaka a couple of times, although he's been mostly over the bar. I've enjoyed that this season, that players are now more willing to have a pop from range because they've got it in their locker. They can do it.
And talking of having a pop, it was the end of the first half. Mustafi then picks up a yellow for simulation in the box. Dom, he's clearly been touched. Clearly. Did he go over too easy? Or was he thinking, every fucker gets a penalty against us for doing this, so I'm going to do it?
This is one of those ones where if it got given against us, I would have been frustrated, probably felt like that, like, oh, typical, you know? And then on the other end, when it happened, like, you know, when Mustafi's the one that goes over, again, on replay, it just probably goes over a little bit too dramatically for the amount of contact, which is probably what the issue was. But there was contact. He went down. I could have easily seen that one being given. The Guendouzi one we'll get to later, which I feel like he definitely took a little bit of the Raheem Sterlings on that one.
With three players booked for simulation today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Because
Xhaka, Mustafi, and Guendouzi.
I've got to be honest. The Guendouzi one, I understood. The other two, I don't think so. That's what I mean. Like, this referee was just dishing these things out like slices of cheese, wasn't he?
Yeah. Was Xhaka simulation? I thought at first it was like back chatting the ref.
No, I think it was simulation because they got the free kick out of it. This referee was like Oprah Winfrey. He's like, you get a yellow card. You get a yellow card. You can have a yellow card. He was just very liberal with these yellow cards, wasn't he?
Liberal. he was just, honestly, he's like a card shark. You know those card sharks that flick the cards around the place? He just thought he's never going to stop.
But no, I mean, what about you, Jay? So the Mustafi one. Did you think it was a pen?
I could have
just seen the ref just waving play on and not doing anything, you know.
To take the John Welsh view of when it happened, again, obviously we're looking at different perspectives from the referee. I thought it was a penalty, okay? Then when you saw the replay, he has gone down theatrically there, you know. And, you know, as you all know, Mustafi's a bit of a favourite of mine. So it was like, never simulation, you know. You know, one-eyed look at it. But I I saw, you know, later on you had a couple of Huddersfield players dive at the same time. Smith dived in the second half. Not even a free kick. I thought, yeah, if you're going to be balanced about it, then Smith deserves a yellow card and you get a free kick as well. But that didn't happen. So, you know, that's the bit which frustrates me, sort of thing, a little bit down the line. At the time, I understood why he gave it, though I thought it was harsh. And that then meant, at that point in the game, kind of in the second half, our two main centre-backs are banned for the next game, the Southampton game, which does not fill me with confidence. Let's put it that way, and we'll come to that a bit later. But that was the end of the first half. John, substitutions at half-time. Lichtsteiner off. Lacazette off. And it will be a Mkhitaryan coming on. Now, last two or three games, neither of these players have exactly shone. Though, you know, they both can contribute, and we've seen some good form from Iwobi at times this season. What did you think about that?
I understood Lichtsteiner coming off. I didn't think we really needed to play with the three at the back. The two centre backs are booked at that point anyway, so you know they're out of the next league game. But I didn't understand taking Lacazette off. I'm not saying he had a marvellous game or anything, but just to me, I just thought, we're at home. Why, you know, just bring on one of those two guys, whether it's Iwobi or Mkhitaryan. It was sort of a toss up between the two, to be honest. And I would have taken one of the midfielders off. I just think that would have made more sense to me. Just because, you know, Huddersfield at that point, even towards the end of the first half, were starting to sit a little bit deeper. They pressed very well from the start, but they started to go more into their shell. And you know, as the game's going to go on, they're going to sit back and get deeper and deeper and deeper. I just think having that extra strike up front to try and stretch and make what little space there will be, just to open it up a bit more, I think made more sense to me.
Yeah, it was a strange run. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You're forgiven for being late. You are forgiven. But what none of you are forgiven for is the fact I have only 41 likes. 41 likes. You saw the Arsenal gritted out today and you're giving me 41 likes. Are you taking the mickey?
That's like the referee's performance, isn't it?
Oh, it's not even as good as the referee's performance, Dom. It's embarrassing. Look at this lot. There's 167 of them watching right now, and they're giving me 41 likes. Tappy, tappy. Let's get going. Stop messing about, okay, Redo? Stop embarrassing yourselves. Let's see a bit of a performance from the chat box today. Some likes, please. Come on. I expect 70. Too sweet. Get it going. Let's have it. No more excuses. I feel like your mother's, you know, I feel like your mother having to tell you to finish your greens after tea. It's wrong and it's embarrassing. So let's get going. Come on, chat box. Do the business. Tappy, tappy. Let's rock it. Thank you very much. Sorry, I can't keep a straight face. And Dom, Mkhitaryan shoots wide. Then we have the Smith dive in the box. The game is calmer in the second half, but there's not a massive amount happening. You know, I just feel a time wasting. It's not like an enjoyable game.
No, it was horrible to watch. It was horrible. There was not a stretch of play that went for more than 2 minutes without someone diving on the ground, getting a yellow card, or being injured, or something happening. It was really frustrating to watch.
You know what? You just think, what time did you get up to watch this?
7. So not too bad today.
That's not too bad. But if you've got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning or, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning to watch this, like the foreign fans do, you know, my God, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. It's just embarrassing, you know. We talk about the Premier League being brilliant and what have you, but that today was just is awful. John, Aubameyang misses the header from the corner. Oh, it was painful, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. That was really poor. I mean, he had the other chance in the first half, which he should have at least hit the target with. And he gets a header, and the whole thing of being a striker in the box is being an optimist. You've got to expect that the ball's going to come to you, you know. you've got to expect that a defender in front of you is going to miss it, and that if your teammate's there, that he's going to miss the ball and be ready to react. And it was almost as if he thought the Huddersfield player was going to flick the ball on, and he just reacted late. And it was just like no conviction in the header either, was there? Do you know what I mean? He just seemed to sort of glance at it more than really go for it.
The commentator on my stream said he just looked surprised, which I think summed it up pretty well, actually.
Mm. And that's... Look, his heading isn't his greatest attribute, that's for sure. But you would expect him at least hit the target there. Especially the form he's in. It's just kind of ridiculous. But I'm not asking him to score every single chance he gets in front of goal. But I just want you to hit the target and stuff like that. And it's hard to dig out a player who's got the amount of goals he's got this season. But it's, yeah, that things like that really frustrate you in a game. Especially when you had the two other chances that you missed and there's not a lot in the game. Like, we didn't really create a lot. It's like one of those, just stop throwing away these little chances we're getting, because it's just going to make it even harder.
Yeah, absolutely. Dom, Mustafi then, you know, he tweaks a hamstring and Nacho comes back. Give me your opinion on the Mustafi hamstring tweak. How long do you think he'll be out for? He's obviously banned for a game. And then Nacho coming back to us after quite a lengthy injury layoff.
The hamstring looks like just a small strain. I would be surprised if he misses more than probably 2 to 3 weeks with that one. But even that, this time of year is going to be quite a few games, isn't it? If you look at sort of what are we at now, the 8th of December, even if he gets back before the end of December around Christmas time, that would be quite nice since we've got such a hectic schedule coming up. So,
yeah, well, we've got Carrierbag Thursday, Southampton Sunday. Then on the Wednesday, we got the Scum in the Carabao Cup. Then we got Burnley and Brighton.
I'd be surprised if Koscielny doesn't play sort of 50 or 60 minutes against Carrierbag.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hopefully, because it is a bit of a nothing game for us, you can put him out there and you can, you know, give a young kid a go for 30 minutes at the end of the game and keep him fresh and get him ready for Southampton. I think that would be a pretty wise way to manage him. So we get one centre back there. And then I guess you're going to put Lichtsteiner or Monreal next to him, I would assume, which is a little concerning, to be honest.
Good to see Nacho back.
Really good. Yeah, I mean, he's just so consistent, isn't he? He's just so solid. He just doesn't seem to make that many mistakes. And we, you know, me especially, I'll dig out Mustafi quite a lot, because the frustrating thing with Mustafi is that he can do some brilliant defending for 85 minutes or 90 minutes of a game, and then he just makes this one or two big brain farts that are really, really costly. And it's frustrating because you can see there's a really good defender in there. Monreal doesn't really give you that kind of worry, for me anyway. He just seems like he's just solid.
Swansea away last season.
You're picking out one game for a whole season, Jace. You're not talking about...
But that led to them winning. Do you know what I mean? It's this thing of, I think I was a bit harsh on Mustafi. Yes, he does some stupid things. I'm not getting away from it. But when you look at goals conceded from his mistakes, there aren't as many as there are from other players. And that's what I'll say in his defence, okay? Yes, I want him to stay on his feet a bit more, and I think a lot of the criticism is valid, but he seems to be a bit of a boo boy when you see certain players, you know, certain players give away free kicks that lead to goals, and they're never mentioned. Do you know what I mean? It's exactly the same
thing. I think Mustafi has a habit of doing it, Jace. I think it happens too regularly, and the same mistake. That's the big thing. If it's the same reason that you were digging out Xhaka earlier, again, he gives the ball away, you know. Yeah. So Mustafi again dives in when he shouldn't. Again, he does something silly when he shouldn't. It's a brain fart, Jace.
But he didn't do that today, did he?
He didn't. You know? And that's what I'm talking about. Monreal doesn't seem to have that same tendency for the brain farts. So him coming back at right now is super important for us, because I feel like Kolasinac has been he's been decent in a back three because he doesn't have to do the bulk of the defending. But with our injuries at the moment, it wouldn't surprise me if we go back to a back four and we put Monreal out on the left because he is that bit more solid defensively. So That's going to be really interesting. It's going to be really tricky for the manager because his back three's been working reasonably well over the last sort of four or five games. And I think that he was forced to do a back three because of personnel reasons, because Monreal wasn't playing.
Yeah.
I don't think he liked Kolasinac as a left back in a back four. But now Monreal's back, and with the so many injuries to centre back, it wouldn't surprise me if we go back to a back four again.
Yeah, no, I think that's his only option. So I just don't think we get any players. You know, you're going to see kids on the bench from here on in who may have to come in during, you know, I mean, look, we haven't got the toughest run in other than New Year's Eve against the Bin Dippers, and you got the Scum in the Cup, in the Carabao Cup. Other than that, we should be able to cope, hopefully, touch wood. John, then the Guendouzi yellow card. Oh, at this point, I'm losing the will to live. I really am. I'm looking at this thinking, we've got a podcast to do later, and that's all I'm going to talk about is referees, yellow cards, and our players diving in the box. Oh, yeah. It was embarrassing, wasn't it?
He should take a few pointers of Mustafi because it wasn't quite theatrical enough. I actually thought that Moy almost fouled him on the edge of the box or just outside the box before that.
Yeah.
And he kept going. And I like what Guendouzi was doing throughout the game. I thought he was okay and he was trying to get forwards and break the lines when he could. But I think Dom's right in that the midfield didn't really understand when who was going to do what and when to go. But yeah, it was a blatant dive. Like, it was just, it didn't touch him at all. And he's done the classic, I'm going to kick my leg out to make contacts to then fall over.
Dele Alli's made a career out of that.
Yeah. I don't see many of our fans digging him out for that. Look, and we're not going to because we're Arsenal fans and he's an Arsenal player, so we're biased. But what I would say is, if we got a penalty from that and we scored and won the game or something, and that was how we won the game, then maybe you should look at sometimes when we get decision against us and someone does it. And
I was just about to say, if it was against us, I'd be annoyed, but at the same time, it wouldn't have surprised me. That was the strange thing about it. Like, I don't think it was a penalty. I think any kind of level-headed fan can look at that and go, look, you were, like you said, you kicked your foot out to make contact and then you went to ground. But how many times have we seen that?
Oh, yeah.
And then it's been given. That's the confusing part.
I think it sort of the only thing I didn't like about it was it kind of at that point it was like, oh, desperation.
Yeah.
We're throwing ourselves over in the box because we just weren't creating any chances. Thankfully, it wasn't too long after that we got the goal. But it was a bit embarrassing.
How frustrating was that game? Oh,
it was putrid. It really was. But Dom, what a way to win it. What a way to win it.
I mean, Guendouzi redeemed himself with that ball over the top, didn't he?
He did. And let's give him full credit for that.
I want to actually talk about that pass a little bit because for a 19-year-old kid to try that shows a lot of confidence. After getting a yellow card for simulation, you know, you could drop your head a little bit. You could be a little bit put off. And up until that point, he didn't have the greatest game, you know. He was good, but he didn't have the greatest game. None of our midfielders did. And that particular pass, the reason I liked that pass so much is because we kept trying to go wide and cut balls back in and it wasn't working. And to see that run that Aubameyang made, which was a very good run, there was another player there too. Was it Mkhitaryan as well that was running in?
I think so, yeah.
And then he just scooped this beautiful little ball over to the top, which completely caught the defense by surprise, I think, because it was just probably the first time for the game that we saw a little dink over the top like that. Weighted it perfectly, and the touch from Aubameyang was just amazing. That first touch, shot gets blocked, but he was on it really quickly, which was good. A little scoop over the top, and on replay, he had no idea that Torreira was there. You could see he didn't even look up. He just saw the ball, knew to scoop it back into the middle there somewhere and hope. And luckily for us, Torreira is straight into a goal-scoring position and did a cartwheel and bam.
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, the pass from Guendouzi, I don't mind saying it the way I see it. I thought he'd had a bang average game. But that to have the confidence as a kid to see the run, to say, right, I'm going to find him. And then John, inch perfect pass, you know, Aubameyang, you saw a beautiful first touch. Archie says here, Bergkamp-esque, okay. The ball comes back to him, knows to put in the danger area. And then for Torreira to have the confidence to go for the overhead kick, a little bit of magic from the boys after a very bang average day at the office, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Two things. I'm going to pick you up for saying Torreira because we're getting abuse on Twitter for saying his name wrong. Torreira.
Okay. I'm just going to set the record straight. I don't give a monkeys, okay?
I'll set him off.
When you hear a Spaniard call me David, okay? I don't mourn. I don't mourn about it because that's their language. That's the way they speak, okay? I couldn't give a monkeys. Back to you, John.
Fair enough. Just expressing the opinions of some of our listeners. So yeah. Well, look, it's the only way they'll listen and actually like me because normally they hate me, especially my opinion on referees. Yeah, the thing I like the most is when Aubameyang. I mean, the first touch is fantastic, but as he's about to cross it over, he's not aware of where Torreira is. But Torreira has a look behind him. He checks his space and he sees that there's a gap there and that he's unmarked. And he just takes a little step back. He sets himself because he knows what's coming. And he knows that because there's no one around him, he can get away with that finish that he does. Because it's just great technique and ability. And he does exactly the right thing. And putting it into the ground as well. The keeper's got no chance. He's easily been our best signing, you know, for a long time. I just love the passion he shows in the game. I know Chris hates passion, but that's why I love it. I love like his energy, his tenacity in tackles and stuff. And he didn't have the greatest game either. You know, he gave the ball away a couple of times as well. But he's got so much about him as a player. And to think he's only 21, it's ridiculous.
When you look at him and Guendouzi, you know, those have got to be long-term signings of the club. And, you know, if we develop them properly, the future's bright. Now, listeners, Sit down, get a cup of water, have nothing loose next to you. I'm going to say something really positive about our Greek centre-back.
Uh-oh.
De Poitra dives in the box, okay? In all fairness, it's a shoulder charge from Socrates, okay? He could have been, you know, given a penalty away there. I think he gambled. But he won. But De Poitra does dive, to be fair to him. But the reaction afterwards, I absolutely love, okay? And you just think, good for you, son. Have a pop at him, you know? I really enjoyed that from him. He's not winning me round yet. I still think he's average. But he has done a lot better than I thought. Dom, I know you loved that moment. It was easy, wasn't it?
That was my favourite part of the game. He just stood over him and just started screaming at him. Oh, it was brilliant. And it's true, you know, we haven't had that kind of, it's not even leadership, is it? It's just, I care, you know, it just shows, you're not going to see Koscielny stand over someone and scream at them for diving. No. And I'm not saying that it makes him a better player. But I just like seeing that it matters, you know. I like seeing a little bit of emotion pour out like that, where he's going to let you know about it. And if you're going to play up against him, you know that it's not going to be an easy day.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, where I thought he really gambled with that challenge, but it came off and that's fine. Pete Cole said, no, that is not happening. Not happening at all, okay? But Daryl Kane, sneaky pace. Have you seen the pace on De Poitra? It's non-existent. Behave, okay? It's like a race between a turtle and a slug. It's just not pace. Two questions for you both, boys. The game was a tough day at the office, yeah. It wasn't easy. John, you first. You can have a pop at Huddersfield tactics all you want, but we made it hard for ourselves, and I think the lineup made it hard for us, didn't it?
Yeah, I think just missing one, either one creative player or a defined, this is exactly how we're going to play in this system. And you just have to keep overloading the sort of the workload that Hector and Socrates, Kolasinac are getting through as wingbacks, which I think we did at times in the first half, but not enough. They were our best outs. And it just made it more difficult for us. A little bit of credit to Huddersfield because I thought they defended it quite well in patches, but it should have been a more comfortable game. But it's come after this, what, third game in 7 days?
Haven't they had the same?
Yeah, but I would argue that they probably didn't exert the same energy that we did in, say,
yeah, those two games, the Spurs and United games, they were really full on,
and also the injuries, I think, as well. You know, have started to take their toll a little bit. So
we've covered the most ground of any Premier League side per game on average too. So
I just think, I think that adds up a little bit. And look, it wasn't a great game. There's no bones about it, but we're 21 unbeaten, and importantly, we won today. So we kept the streak going. Missing Mustafi and Socrates for the Southampton game is a bit of a blow, and obviously Mustafi's injury as well, and hopefully Dom's right, it is only a little while, but defence is starting to be a little bit of a worry in terms of who's going to play there.
Right, it's not, I mean, that's our first clean sheet in how many games? You know, I don't think our defence is that magnificent, let's be honest, but we keep on finding a way to win. And Dom, talking of that, that is 21 unbeaten, and even though it is such a frustrating game, okay, it was, I'll use the phrase, dog shit. We still find a way to keep that unbeaten run going, and another 3 points. Very, very important, isn't it?
Absolutely. And again, you know, for the last however many years, we've been talking about this wanting to win scrappy when we need to. And even earlier in the season where our form wasn't really matching our results, we sat there after about four or five games unbeaten, and we were sitting there thinking, well, why are we being so negative? You know, we've been screaming out for these ugly results for a long time, and to learn to win against a team like that, that aren't there to play football. And, you know, in previous seasons, maybe we would have drawn or even conceded a goal at some point, or something crazy happened, because we've seen it so many times. So to see us consistently now be able to grind out these results, whether it be a win or a draw, or coming back from you know, losing positions, which we've done quite a lot, it's a good characteristic to have in the team. And hopefully, because let's be real, we can only get better, can't we? In terms of the way that we've started games consistently throughout the season and our first half performances, we haven't even gone into a first half with a lead yet in 15 games. So there's a lot of positives about the way that we're going about getting it done. Not necessarily going to say that we're anywhere near what we should be at our best week in, week out. But I also think the manager's still trying to figure out what team, what formation, what players, what partnerships, all of these things. And it's only been, what, 15 games? It's not really that many.
Yeah, I know. To be fair, you know, it is a great start from Unai. You know, you always know with a new manager coming in, there is going to be a fresh impetus. There's going to be an excitement. There should be a positive. As long as he's a good manager, there should be a positive change. And that seems to happen. The one thing, John, I felt today was the first time I've seen Unai make tactical substitutions. Let's leave Nacho out of this. And they have zero impact on the game. And in fact, they contributed very, very little to the game. I thought Iwobi and Mkhitaryan, they stunk the ground out today. What's your opinion?
Yeah, I don't think they offered a lot. Iwobi was very poor when he came on, and Mkhitaryan wasn't particularly great either. I think the issue is, I think, you know, if they're playing well, then bringing those two players on makes sense. Problem is, they're not in great form, but he hasn't got anything else. He literally has no one else to bring on.
I can see what he was thinking.
Yeah, he's hoping that they come on and put a performance in that perhaps their form hasn't shown at the moment, because something needed to change, because we weren't really playing that well, and Huddersfield was starting to get a few chances. So I get his decisions, but I think it's just down to a lack of options at the moment because we're so bare bones in certain areas.
I don't know if you agree, but it looks to me like the pair of them are just, especially Wobi, he's trying too hard at times. He needs to let the game come to him a little bit. You know, he had some lovely touches at times, but then all too often gave the ball away. And Mkhitaryan, he's just kind of struggling with everything. There was a point in the game where, you know, Hector's made a 40-yard run down the right-hand side, laid the ball off inside to Mkhitaryan, expecting the ball back, and the ball was so poor back to him, a Huddersfield defender picks it up. It's a tough time for, especially Mkhitaryan at the moment, but for the pair of them, isn't it, trying to find the form?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we need to remind ourselves of, is that Iwobi has improved this year and he has gone on some really good performances, and they weren't just patches in games. He strung a few games together where he was very, very good. And you're right. It's just, this is the time where you need to stick by these guys and, you know, just like I said, just hope that they find that form again, because we know what Mkhitaryan's capable of, which is why it's probably so frustrating watching him, is because you know that he's better than what he's showing. And that's what we're kind of, maybe the manager was hoping that was gonna pop out today. I don't really disagree with the substitutions at the time. I don't think it was that outrageous. With Lacazette, had a bit of a, he got squashed. His head got squashed against Man United, and he was only just coming back from a bit of a groin injury. So there may be a little bit of player management involved in that decision as well, because, you know, like we said, it's not exactly, he wasn't exactly the player that you'd be screaming to take off at that point. But in terms of the substitutions, I didn't think they were the worst ones to make at the time. But you're right, it seems to be the first time that he's made some big moves at halftime and it hasn't actually worked. So that's also saying something, because usually he's got it spot on, which is good to be pragmatic. I mean, like that, isn't it?
There was a stat laid out at the United game that our subs had been involved in more goals than any other team, you know, and by a long, long way, which has kind of shown Unai's, you know, the impact he's made when he's brought players on, or rather they've made. And so that was a bit of a shocker today, because I genuinely thought that the width stretching at this field, it was good to see them both come on. I was a bit confused by Lacazette going off. I thought, as John said earlier on, when the midfielders had gone off, but it's a good learning curve for the team as well. It is a good learning curve for the team. And with that, listeners, we're going to questions. Let's get this thing done, is it? Pete Coulson asks, John, keep this on the low, but which player can I score some hippie crack from?
Who looks like the most? Oh, it depends. Hippie crack.
I'd say Kolasinac, surely.
Nah, he'd definitely be dealing something more hardcore than that.
What is hippie crack? What's happened?
Hippie crack is laughing gas.
Yeah, nitrous oxide, right?
Yeah. Basically, I think it's illegal to sell. It's either illegal to sell or not. It's not illegal basically to use it. It's there's nothing wrong with it. They can use it.
Oh, this is the sun thing, is it?
Yeah, the thing from the sun. But if you were going to pick one player, actually, I'd probably say Guendouzi. He looks like the sort of guy you'd see in like working a bodega in New York.
I'm more at the point. He's 19. He should be selling it. Tom, AG asks, has Ozil got broken self-esteem?
Probably.
Love that comment.
Ozil's a curious one right now. I genuinely think he's got an injury. We know that he's had back issues. He nearly missed the World Cup with back issues. And if you're talking about, you know, the conspiracies of him not wanting to play the big games or trying to hide from them or whatever, today was not a big game and he still wasn't out there and we could have used him for sure. So
I think the one thing we've got to
remember, surprise me, like there could be truth to it, all of it. You know, Emery might not be that enamored with Ozil and might have put it to him and said, I want you to work harder. And Ozil hasn't stepped up to the plate. And it could also be entirely possible that he does actually have a back strain and that he isn't able to play right now. So regardless of all of that, I just find It's a little bit, for me, it's a bit of a non-story. I know that it's frustrating because of the wages that he's on, and he could potentially be stopping us from, say, re-signing Ramsey or signing another player or whatever. But that's the club's problem to deal with and the manager. And he doesn't play, he doesn't play. We're going along okay, you know?
I think with Ozil, it's a tricky one, isn't it? You know, where you look at the guy, he's obviously an introvert. We all like to take the piss out of everybody. We do, okay? And Ozil does get it in spades, and he always will. I mean, but, you know, it's getting a little bit frustrating where, you know, the comments after the Tottenham game from Unai were less than, didn't exactly fill anyone with confidence, did they? You know, they were quite, so what, you know, I'm not going to make excuses. I don't know where he is. I don't know when it happened. I don't know anything. There's obviously an issue there. I just hope, you know, Ozil is okay mentally, and, you know, and he can come back to kind of win everybody over, because he's a big name player for us. But we need big performances out of him. And one game here and one game there just doesn't cut it. John Bernstein asks, what the hell are we going to do for centre-back for the next game? And with that, Mike Hernandez also asks, are we rushing Cos back for the weekend?
Oh, I would say that we've got Carabag first, haven't we? I'd say for that, you're likely to see Jenkinson play centre-back again, and Koscielny maybe plays 50 minutes, something like that, possibly, or comes on for 30 minutes. I'm not sure I'd play him for Southampton. Depends how, you know, that's down to the medical team. I mean, you might have to, because there isn't anyone else for that game.
If he's fit enough to be on the bench, surely he's fit enough to play?
You're supposed to be.
He may not be match sharp, but yeah. The only way he's going to get that is by playing.
Yeah, so I'd say that he maybe plays a certain amount of the Carabao game, because it's a nothing game and he doesn't have to... No, he doesn't have to go flying into challenges, because if we lose it, it doesn't matter. You know, it disrupts the momentum a little bit, and that's annoying, but it's a nothing game. So I'd expect Jenkinson probably say centre-back. Maybe you see one of the young kids at left-back, something like that. There's a chance that maybe Kolasinac fills in at centre-half as well. He has played there. I know it's a big ask, but you've got Nacho can play there. If you play a back three, you can maybe put Elneny in there. I don't know. It's really tough. I genuinely got no idea who you're going to pick, especially the Southampton game. That's the big one. Because no Mustafi and no Socrates, obviously holding gone. We don't have a centre-back other than Koscielny.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say is that Southampton are, sorry, Ross, and he will agree with me, they're really shit at the moment, although they have just sacked Mark Hughes, so they might be a bit better. So it shouldn't be an issue. But you never know.
Absolutely. Right, listeners, every in the chat box, we're going to give away a T-shirt after the questions. Don't go anywhere. The T-shirt question is coming. I've just got to think of it. Dom, Richard Garrett asks, anyone got the feeling that Ozil is suffering mental health issues and they're using back pain as an excuse, which would be understandable?
It's a tricky topic, this one. There's been so much talk about, you know, mental health over the last little while, and men's health. We've just come off Movember and things like that, and I think everyone knows someone that's been affected by it at some point. And I think that we do forget that these players are actually people sometimes. And so, you know, when Emery at the start of the season had Ozil coming back from the World Cup after all the criticism and the things that were getting said about him there, you know, he said that we're trying to make it a family environment for him because we want to support him. It wouldn't surprise me if he has got, you know, some issues going on in terms of that mental health. I did see him post a photo today of him working with Shad Forsyth in a one-on-one session, trying to do some rehab work. So, you know, there's that element of things as well. It could be a combination of everything. You know, like, you put yourself in Mesut Ozil's shoes, and money doesn't stop feelings from occurring when someone's being negative towards you. You know, we can sit here and say, oh, he's getting paid £350,000 a week. He shouldn't be upset or depressed. But anybody that knows what depression's like or mental health issues are like, it's got absolutely nothing to do with money. It's got nothing to do with being famous. It's got, it's a chemical imbalance in your brain and it can really fuck you up. So that's the part where we as fans and journalists as well, and all the people that fire that criticism at Mesut Ozil, need to be a little bit more careful in how it's delivered. You can be constructively critical about his performances as a footballer. There's nothing wrong with that. And I don't think anyone would begrudge that, but it starts to cross a line a little bit where it's almost agenda driven. It starts to get personal. It starts to get aggressive. And that's the stuff that, you know, it's almost contradictory from journalists and us as fans, where we're sitting here just coming off November supporting Men's Health, and then we're kind of, you know, really kicking a man when he's down, so to speak, or all of the extra gossip that could be potentially just rumors, you know. It's a tricky one. It really is a tricky one. And if he does come out and say, yes, I've been suffering severely with depression and mental illness, then what's the reaction going to be like? Is anyone going to apologize? Or, you know, John's probably a little bit better sat to talk about that particularly. But it really does frustrate me when someone points and says, well, he gets paid a lot and he's famous, therefore he can't be sad.
No, I mean, that's not true at all. That's complete nonsense. And I think... I know our chat box are certainly aware of that, and I think most Arsenal fans, or the sensible ones anyway, you know someone at least who suffers with some sort of mental health issue, whether it's depression or anything else, and money doesn't make a difference. I think the Ozil thing is, from the way Emery reacted from the Spurs game and spoke about him afterwards, I think it's a case of, yeah, maybe he was dropped and Ozil didn't like it, and perhaps the reaction was, okay, well, you're not in the squad. And then he's since then picked up an injury in training. And it might have been a genuine thing. Maybe he wasn't going to be in the squad at all when he did actually genuinely get an injury during training. And Emery at the time just wasn't talking to him because that's his way of trying to manage him and going, look, I'm going to isolate you a little bit to try and get the best out of you. Because you saw he did it earlier in the season when he made him come on in the Europa League game. And it was a bit like, why are you bringing on Ozil in this kind of nothing game? And he did get a reaction out of him, and he saw the performance in the Leicester game. So if he's got mental health issues, then, you know, I'm sure the club are doing all they can to support him and hopefully get through that. But, yeah, I suppose as fans, we do kind of have a responsibility of that, and it's difficult to sometimes see those things because you do get so caught up in it and so frustrated. And I'm the biggest one at it because I always moan about Ozil all the time. I'm always cracking jokes about him having no spine and whatever else, so...
Oh, we yeah. There's joking and there's, you know, going after people. I think, come on, you know, the problem you have right now is you can't use kid gloves about everybody, and we have to be honest in this show, and we have to be honest, and a bit of Mickey taking, you know, the Rambo ego, the Ozil spine thing. That's part and parcel. But I think the one thing that we always do, that all of us want all our players to be playing well. And doing well in life generally, okay? Because if they're happy in life and they're playing well, the Arsenal will be successful. Yeah. You know, cracking a joke, you know, there's good taste and bad taste, as we know. Nobody's really gone for him nastily. You know, the poor bugger who's had the worst grief this season is Socrates from me. You know?
To be fair, if anyone wants to go for someone, it's probably Mkhitaryan. He's got one goal and zero assists in 11 games. That's dreadful. Mm.
You know,
and he's getting money that they won't even give Ramsey every week. It's terrible.
and Rambo's ego needs to be fed. Let's be fair. You know? Oh, God. No, not his ego. Right, let's move on from that. But, you know, it is a serious issue. And... you know, let's hope it's not mental health issues, and let's hope it is somebody being a prima donna. I would far prefer, or a back injury, you know, not a serious one, you know. But because if it is mental health issues, you've got to feel for the guy. You really have. John, I'm sticking with you in this. Kevin LeBeck asks, Socrates versus Carabag, or bedding old man Cos paired with a kid? Lichty really looks overmatched in the Premiership.
Yeah, I think Coz, like I said earlier, I think give Coz some minutes just to try and get those the minutes in his legs and a bit of match sharpness. But I still expect Jenkinson or someone to play. I never thought I'd see Jenkinson in an Arsenal shirt again, except as a fan. But he's played a load of games this season and he's really helped us out, actually. He's been a huge help to the squad. So, yeah, I'd expect him to come out and maybe he's the senior man in defence again, like he was, you know, when they subbed a few players off and he was the man leading the defence, which is a bizarre thing to think. But, yeah, I don't think you... Would you play Socrates? I mean, if you have to, maybe he comes on for Coz when Coz comes off because he's not going to play the full 90. Bring him in because he can't play the Southampton game. Why not? That seems fine.
Okay. John Burns... I'm going to take this one. John Bernstein asks, what is our best lineup and formation? I don't think Unai knows yet. I genuinely think he's still finding his way. I can see us trying a 4-3-3 soon. And I can see him having a go with five at the back because of our injury problems along the line. But, you know, I think you've seen different players shine at different times. I think Emery is still finding his way. And, you know, come sort of March, he will know how he wants to take the squad forward and who he wants to bring in the summer and so forth. But at the moment, I see the January transfer window as maybe a bit of firefighting, just to cover what we've lost with injuries, etc. And I just see him, you know, he's going to have to tie down the future of the club. Is Welbeck staying or going? Is Ramsey staying or going? You know, the Ozil situation. There's a lot of things still up in the air for him. And of course, with the change of Ivan going and Raul coming in as the sort of director of football or whatever you want to call it, there's a change there as well. So they're still finding their feet. I don't think anything happens overnight. You look at City and Pep with his philosophy, even he took a season to get going properly. So we wait and see. Dom, I'm sorry, there's another Ozil question. I do apologise. They've all come to you, but that's just the way the cookies crumble today. Pete Coulson and Frank Gunner, same sort of question. Today would have been a perfect time for Ozil to return. We certainly lacked creativity, but his absence denotes that he's really injured, no? The answer is yes, by the way. And Frank Gunner says, this is a game for Ozil, for a bit to open them up with his quality. We did miss that sort of creativity today, didn't we?
Yeah, someone that was able to drive with the ball in those areas and pick out those passes and, you know, move the ball forward quickly from counter-attacks or have someone ahead a little bit to pass the ball to. That was the big thing, wasn't it? Is if we did turn the ball over in midfield, you were basically relying on Aubameyang or Lacazette to drop deep. Or you're looking wide for Kolasinac or Bellerin to be bombing on. So, you know, those counter-attacks need to be moved very quickly into those positions, and that's the type of spaces that Ozil seems to occupy when he is playing well. And absolutely, you know, the reason that you get frustrated at Mesut Ozil is because you've seen what he's capable of, and Ozil at his best is still one of the top three number 10s in the world in terms of creativity and playing that role. It's just, you know, we haven't seen it consistently enough. But again, the whole team hasn't been performing that consistently in terms of performances. Results have been great, but the performance is not exactly matching that. So, yeah, I genuinely do think that he's probably got a bit of an injury at the moment.
Yeah, it is difficult, you know, and you. Like I say, we want to see everybody fit and firing. We really do, because, you know, it's a long old season, and you know, Christmas and all the pile up of fixtures. I know we've got a winter break in the Premier League, but you can have cup games, etc. You know, it all comes thick and fast. Right, that's it, John. Who's the last message you can see in the chat box?
Last person I've got, Kevin Lebeck. Is the last message.
Kevin Lebeck, did Emery match Graham's best unbeaten record? I think he did, yes. Okay, so that's 21 unbeaten, guys. That's great news for us. And great news for you. I'm about to give away a T-shirt. So are you ready? I'm going to ask a question, okay? And as soon as the question is asked, first person with the correct answer, okay, gets the T-shirt. There's three choices of colours. There's red, black, and yellow, righto? And, you know, you can have a size of whatever you want. We are bringing out different designs soon to sell. I think, you know, we're going to see if anybody wants them, but let's wait and see. Right. The question is League Cup winning goal against Sheffield Wednesday. Who scored the League Cup winning goal against Sheffield Wednesday? And then who dropped him?
Wow.
Danny's going to answer this because I know Danny's never forgiven.
So you got to get who scored it and who dropped him.
Yep. And anybody who of an age knows this. So people are looking up quickly.
Danny's going to start losing his mind.
Oh, Cactus Jack, you're a tit. He can't have one. Pap Brady, you're halfway there, but you need who dropped him.
You need both. You need the girl one who dropped him. Oh, sorry. So for people listening later, this dead air. Oh, we got one.
Where?
Mr. Boblex. Has he got it?
I haven't seen Mr. Boblex yet.
Oh, where's my that? Word.
Where's that? Yeah, Mr. Boblex, you're the winner.
There we go.
Jack got it first, but unfortunately, he's had one already, so he can't have another one. Oh, Mr. Boblex, well done. Congratulations, you are the winner.
Who's John Barnes? Seriously, what is wrong with you lot?
Thomas of Norway. The Ian Wright one I liked. Congratulations, Mr. Boblex. You win a T-shirt. So do me a favour, message either myself or the pod account with your size and your and which colour you went, and we'll get one out to you. It won't be for Christmas, I don't think, but you'll have one in January. They've taken a while to go out. They really have. Oscar Arias is just having a laugh. He answered at the beginning of the show, I'll be asking a question later, and he put in, the answer's 42. Get me my shirt. Something like that. Oh, great. Guys, thanks for your support, as always. Absolutely brilliant. Big shout out to Yvonne and Ariane. You're always supporting us with donations. Yvonne, you need to actually stop donating to us because you just donate too much money to us. You really do need to stop. We thank you ever so much, but you shouldn't give us so much money. You shouldn't. And, you know, so thank you, guys. We really appreciate that. A big shout out to Danny. Danny's unfortunately a friend of his passed away last night, and it's just sad days. So everybody give Danny a bit of love, guys. He's feeling it at the moment, and that's not good for anyone. Unfortunately, I know all too well how that feels in the last of 12 months, 15 months. It's crap, but chin up, Dan. You know, it's sad days, but onwards and upwards, pal. My thanks to everyone in the chat box. You've been brilliant today. It's been really funny in there. It's superb. Well done, guys. To those of you listening on other platforms, as always, thank you for your support. It's brilliant. If you'd like to give us a 5-star iTunes rating, we'd really like that. We would really, really like that because we'll start kind of going up that little league in there. So, you know, do it for us. Go on. Do it for the Arsenal and do it for ABW. Give us a 5-star iTunes rating. If you want to be part of the chat box, click subscribe to the YouTube channel. Click on the bell icon. Come and join us. The chat box is a lot of fun. Yes, people get excited now and again and there's a timeout or something, but more often than not, there's a bunch of good people in there and they're really good fun. The next game is Carrier Bag Away. There's a podcast before that. I've no idea. I keep on saying Carrier Bag. It's so disrespectful. I'm sorry, Carrier Bag fans. I'm no idea who's on the podcast this week. No idea whatsoever. On the... John, who's on the... the thing. Shredder is on the...
Oh, you expect me to be organised and know who's doing the radio show?
Yeah, well, I'm not organised, am I? So,
I mean,
you
it's
know.
Not like you run it or anything.
Here we go. I know. Danny, Ellis and Shreds are on the Carabag show after the match. So that'll be good fun. Then the Southampton lineup is Josh, Carl and Ellis, the ABW FIFA pro guys. So it's going to be a lot of fun there, guys. My thanks to you, John.
No worries, mate. It was a difficult game to get through, but as usual, you and Dom cheer me up, so that's good.
It was bloody painful, wasn't it? It was just, honestly, I've had more fun sticking needles in my eyes. It's really bad, but another win, so fantastic. Dom, my thanks to you as always. Good to see you. Have you back, pal?
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Brilliant stuff. 21 unbeaten. Didn't think I'd see that in Unai's first sort of season. I really didn't. And that's a great credit to him and the players and Casido and all the backroom staff. Well done to them all. Let's hope we can make it 24-25. Because if we do that, we'll be unbeaten until after Christmas. Onwards and upwards. Keep it Arsenal. John, switch us off.